Today's April 28th, 2024. Podcast 508. I'm Tyler Gossard, my good friend. Freundin? Mm-hmm. I'm speaking
something like that.
Started speaking German. Good Dr. John Westfall. I did want to note, you know, it's the end of April. And I think April, you know, spring showers and May flowers and all that. We're heading towards the May flowers part. Spring is here. Been here for a while.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw Sven Johansson's photos. It snowed a couple of inches like yesterday. It was like...
Well, and it's been a weirder... We've had down here in Mississippi either 10 degrees colder than we should be or 10 degrees warmer. And there's been no middle ground spring. So we're alternating between our winter and summer almost full on. Yesterday, it was in the mid-80s, which is about 10 degrees higher than we should be. Last Saturday, it was in the 50s, about 10 degrees lower than we should have been. So it's been all over.
Yeah, you should know that if you were in the mid-80s, you were hotter than Hawaii, or at least where I live in Hawaii. Mm. We haven't hit the mid-80s yet, maybe 81, 82. At any rate, thanks to Sven last week for helping me test having three people on the podcast using Google Meet, which I think everybody's tired of hearing me say it, but I'm still experimenting with. I'm just trying to understand to make sure I don't mess up people with this change, because I've messed them up with other venues I have tried or systems I've tried, but it's working out well so far. And I did a quick test last night all by myself with just a phone and a Chromebook, and I found out that I can actually use a Chromebook to record a podcast, or you know, record a Google Meet conversation. But I can't download the file for processing. I guess I could send it to a cloud thing directly from Google Drive, but that's okay. I mean, you know, all it means is I have to go to a Mac or a Windows device to actually download and process the file. But I can use a Chromebook, do a podcast. I'll try that.
A lot of before Apple introduced the Files app, where you could actually get to a local file system on an iOS device, where you would have these weird little ornate ways of, okay, I'm going to move this to this cloud provider, and then I'm going to use their tool to do this or that, all because you were having 800 steps away from, I just want to download this and re-upload it over here, download it and use a tool on it.
And the thing is, by the way, it's not that, you know, Google's Chrome OS does have a file structure. It's basically Linux. The problem is that when you're running Google Drive in the Chrome browser, it does not give you a download option if you're on a Chromebook. But, and like I said, that's okay. That's relatively minor. The main thing is I can actually record a podcast, which I don't think I can do running Google Meet. I guess the native app or wrapper app, whatever it is, on either Android or iOS. So I still can't use those to record a podcast. But still, you know, I think we've come a long way. So I am very happy so far with this whole setup. I should also note that I don't even have to use Adobe Podcast Enhance to clean up our audio, because it seems Google Meet does a pretty good job. I think it still has a little bit too much compression for my taste, but it does a pretty good job of volume equalization and all of that. So pretty happy. I did notice, by the way, that in addition to what we've been doing, I'm looking at my options here. They call it activities. In addition to recording the podcast, we also have a whiteboard and live streaming, so people can watch without being able to participate in discussion. So if you had more than five of listeners, you could have like a bunch of people just kind of participating as an audience member. And there's a bunch of third-party apps, but I don't understand how that would work. But I shall look at that, including Read Meeting Note Taker. I assume you got to pay for that. That's okay. That is okay. Anyway, Google Meet working out well. Of course, I did have to upgrade to the 2 terabyte level of storage, but I needed that, so this was a happy addition. Okay, speaking of happy additions, last week, Sven Johansson did me a great favor by introducing his new, let's see, what did he do? The DJI, what is it called now? DJI Pocket 3 vlogging camera. And all of a sudden, I got really interested in vlogging and action cameras again. I should note the Pocket 3 is not an action camera, but it is a really cool vlogging camera. And so I put it in my cart, as I said last week, and I almost bought it. I said, you know, I should do some research. And so I did some research, and oh my gosh, that was a rabbit hole I went down into. I spent literally a week in this rabbit hole looking at not just the DJI Pocket 3, which is apparently a wonderful camera, but it had a couple of things I didn't like about it. Mostly that it had no weatherproofing at all. So people are saying like, if it's even drizzling, you should not take it outside, you know, or should leave, you know, take it outside of your pocket or your bag or whatever, because you're going to ruin the camera. So I thought, well, you know, I did want to do a walk and talk kind of vlog with some local friends. And so that was something I wanted to do. I said, well, like, you know, we have sudden showers here all the time, and I don't want to ruin them, you know, a $500 camera or whatever, just because it drizzled on me. Mm-hmm. So I started looking around, and I found a whole bunch of really great cameras. Canon has one, and of course there's the GoPros. But I finally settled on one, I think, and I'll talk about it more after I actually receive it. I have not, but I'm looking forward to doing some walking, talking tech talks with some local friends using this technology. So I think that'll be fun. Looking forward to it. And the next thing, I don't think you have played with this, but I just my thoughts on something, you know. So I know you've been really happy with your AirPods Pro 2, and their noise cancellation and their what's that called? Like automatic transparency mode, where you can
adaptive mode, transparency mode. Noise cancellation. All three of those are options. So adaptive will swap between transparency all the way up to noise cancellation, kind of a sliding scale with it. Because I think, as I noticed where you're going with this, sometimes noise cancellation cancels out too much of the world.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and you know, I've been a huge fan of noise cancellation from back in the days, or attempts at noise cancellation from back in the days where I used to travel a lot. And you know, that hum on airplanes and things, well, they're not annoying, but I can live without it. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I tried a bunch of noise canceling headphones over the decades now. I have not tried AirPods Pro on a plane because I don't travel anymore, but my wife does, and she says it works great. But I, you know, as I get older and my reaction time gets, you know, greater and greater, unfortunately, I was thinking maybe I'm thinking about noise cancellation, for me at least, in the wrong way. And I don't want to tune out the world, because I, especially if I'm walking, it's really good if somebody's yelling at you to like get out of the way because a car is going to hit you, you know, or hey, there's a tsunami that is suddenly coming and there's a 20-foot wave out there. And so I thought, well, and of course more than that, but you know, just sort of nice to hear the world. And so I don't want to cancel the world, so to speak. I just want to not have it mask what I'm trying to listen to. And, in other words, I don't mind hearing the wind and cars and people talking, as long as I can hear what I want to listen to, sort of to, you know, to tune in just what I want to. Kind of like almost like the party effect, right? Where you can hear your name in a noisy party. I just want to hear what I'm listening to. And so I've been trying some over the ear, because as you know, earbuds fall out of my ears, almost all of them. And I'm just walking. I'm not like jogging or running or anything, you know, strenuous like that. Just walking like a regular person. And in fact, a regular old person. So I probably walk about a half a mile an hour slower than I used to in my youth. And so I've got two over the ear, you know, like hooks, earbuds that are, well, they're not really earbuds. They're over the ear and they're not bone conduction. They're open air. So they fit above your ear. I think the ear canal is open. I should probably just take a photo of it. And so I can hear the world, but they somehow do just enough noise cancellation, probably nodal waves or something. That I can hear the world and I can still hear what I'm listening to, whether it's a podcast or music or whatever, as I'm wandering around. And I haven't tried it in like in a super duper noisy environment, like a crowded city street, but I have done it in 40 mile an hour wind gusts. And I think when it hits about 40, 45, it starts to, you know, mask what I'm trying to listen to. But up until then, 20, 25, 30 mile an hour winds, no problem. I can hear the world. I can hear what I'm listening to. And I'm sort of happy as a clam. So I'm really, really, really pleased by this. And here's a funny looking one, by the way. So this ball is the charging case, and you kind of the earbuds just kind of pop out of here. But the interesting thing is, and so you know, it's got a little thing to go over here. The interesting thing is they're magnets. So even though they're not clipped in or anything, if you just let it, even just get near it, it just pops in. So a really nice design. It's, like I said, it's also a charging case. And I've also got these, which has a full clamshell case, so there's no magnets needed. But it too has a, you know, sort of a shell design, seashell design that clips over your ear, and somehow it works. It's just great.
So, I'm just thinking about how early Bluetooth headsets and headphones, that was the standard design. You know, you had, it really wasn't until earbuds and Apple's original EarPods became popular that we started seeing these things without hooks over. But I'm thinking about the earliest Bluetooth headphones I had from Jabra and a few other companies. They all had that over-the-ear hook. In fact, the Jabras that I had for a very long time, my problem was those over-the-ear hooks would keep breaking because they were actually flex form inside. And after a number of flexes, they would just break. And I had, I bought, you know, multiple packs of extras because this was a standard thing. You could replace them rather easily. They just slid in and out. So,
yeah, I don't know if these are replaceable, but the good thing about the ones I'm trying, by the way, is that they're very inexpensive. And so I hate to be part of the throwaway society. I know that's very wasteful, but I feel even worse about throwing away lots and lots of money and have it break on me in like 18 months. So I'm sort of okay with things that are under $50 or under $40. And, you know, if it lasts 3 or 4 years, I think that's pretty good. Yeah. Or even if it lasts 2 years, I think that's pretty good. So I, anyway, my rethinking of noise cancellation for me. I know it's not for everybody. Some people want to cancel the world, and that's fine. But that's, I now have a new way of thinking about what I want. Okay.
I mean, there are definitely people that want to cancel the world, and sometimes the world would like those people to cancel themselves out of it. So, you know, that works. I think it's a great example of how, you know, you keep, I think we've mostly abandoned it within the tech reviewer space and the tech YouTube space, where you had these people that were very adamant about this is best and everyone should be going to it for a lot of things. And I think that's mostly died away in our community, but you still do see it in the mainstream. I still have people talk about, well, what is the best this? Well, what are you looking for? Well, I don't care, you know, what is the best? Well, I can't really tell you the best if I don't know enough about you to know what you will find useful.
Exactly. What's the best for you might not be what's best for me.
And in the past, I think the best was almost able to be defined. When you think about when technology was making leaps and bounds every year, then you could say, well, yeah, this phone right now is the best on the market because it has the best camera, it has the best wireless radio options, it has this. But it's pretty much today, everything is six of one, half dozen of the other. You know, they all have about the exact same thing. So it is going to get down to the details to determine if it's best or not best.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, one of the things, the biggest surprises I've had recently is I've tried a pair of sub $50, and in case sub $25 smartwatches. And these very affordable, again, sub 50, one is like 49, another was like 24. They can do almost everything my Apple Watch can do, including let me take a call and speak to someone without picking up my phone. You know, and they do the heart rate monitoring, which Apple Watch no longer does, I guess. And you know, SpO2 and sleep and all of that. Now, is it as good as Apple Watch? You could say it's maybe not as accurate for step counting and things. But hey, you know, if you just want to know more or less if you moved more than yesterday, man, it's hard to beat a $20 smartwatch these days. They're quite good, and it's actually more comfortable. My Apple Watches are lighter, but at any rate, and they do work with iOS and Android, so you know, there's that. Okay, speaking of iOS, it's coming, John, May 7th.
Yeah, we'll have. Well, you're talking about the event for new iPads. You said iOS, but yeah,
allegedly
we have a May 7th event, and I'm excited because I think I might actually refresh my iPad Pro because that's what everything's pointing toward. Unfortunately, the iPad Mini that I know you're a big fan of, and I also have, I don't think that's going to get refreshed. But yeah, I'll be very curious after all these delays what actually we get, because I'm not expecting any more, you know, breakthrough things with iPads. I don't know what I would be expecting. I expect better screens, faster performance, maybe better battery life, But what was it about this particular generation that vexed Apple so much that we have such a long time to wait for it? So who knows? Maybe there's something really interesting in the accessory space or in the software space or in the Apple Pencil space. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, to actually to sort of tie in all of your comments there, and this is just a theory. Okay, I don't know for sure. I won't know for sure until May 7th. My theory is the problem is the Apple Pencil charging combined with the placement of the front-facing camera. Mm-hmm. The front-facing camera is on the portrait end of the iPad right now. And so if you are in landscape mode when you're doing a video call, for example, or a video conference, your camera is on, you know, left or right side, depending on how you orient your iPad. And you're kind of looking at the wrong place all the time. You're kind of giving the person the side eye all the time. Because the camera's to your left or right, and you're probably looking at the center. And but from their point of view, you're looking at them, you know, from the side like this. So I think because the charging, the magnetic charging for the Apple Pencil 2 is on the top, that's my theory, that the placement of the camera and the charger and, you know, getting the space for everything without increasing the bezel size, because, you know, the Apple seems intent on making the bezel disappear. I think those three engineering things are probably amongst the issues. I've also heard word that because the new iPad is going to have are supposed to have OLED screens, OLED displays, that there's some manufacturing bottleneck in getting the, you know, larger screens versus phone size OLED screens. So those are my theories, but whatever my theories are, it won't matter when next week when we see the actual result, and hopefully they're shipping. There is another rumor that because of the OLED glass manufacturing bottleneck, that it may be difficult to get certain sizes of iPads, particularly the 12.9.
We will have to see. I'll be curious, actually, since we still have a little over a week before May 7th, I'll be curious to see what other rumors circulate this week, to see if there's more that we can talk about. Maybe we'll do a discussion next week if there's more rumor mill going on. But I think it's going to be a good refresh. It definitely better be, because it's been long enough. So it'll probably be about time for me to upgrade, because my 2018 iPad Pro is starting to, I'm starting to want better features, better screen, that sort of thing. So we'll
extended display alone, you'll love.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have that with right now with the 2018.
Oh, no, you have a mirrored display, right? You can mirror your screen. Can you do
an extend? I can do both. You can extend.
I didn't know that. I thought you needed the M processor to do that.
Nope.
Okay, because, interesting. All right. But in any case, it's a great feature that I really enjoy using, or appreciate using, I guess, when I need, when I decide I don't want to pull out a notebook and just use my iPad, but I may be on a call and I want to take some notes or something. But whatever it is, so the there's some rumors about an Apple Pencil. It's not Apple Pencil 3, because there is an Apple Pencil 3, which is kind of their low end pencil, third generation Apple Pencil, whatever they call it, for the Pro. And so I can't imagine what it could be, but I don't know. We'll find out. So there's rumors about that. There's rumors about a new Magic Keyboard. And by the way, I've said this before in the podcast, but any connected any keyboard that is built to be a case type keyboard for the iPad, it's hard to see how useful it would be unless you have a 12.9 inch iPad. So you have a wide enough keyboard. The 11 inch iPad Pro, I've got some really decent keyboard covers, but only one really works well. And I'm not sure why it works well yet, because they're all the same width. But it's really apparently really hard to design a good keyboard case for the smaller, you know, 11-inch iPad Pros. So there you go. If you want to kind of be a pseudo notebook, get one that's pseudo notebook size, not an 11-inch. Although I did have a MacBook Air 10-inch, 11-inch, the first one that came out, and that was pretty good. Oh, because it had a big bezel, the case was actually wide enough to have a good-sized keyboard. I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But as bezels disappear, oh well. Yeah, so here we go. We'll find out what's coming. I think that's all I know about. I I can't imagine what else is coming except those kind of designs. I am, for some reason, looking forward to it, even though I really wanted an Apple Mini, iPad Mini. But we will see. All right. And finally, oh, not finally, we've got one more thing you just started using.
Yeah. Recently, I used a number of products over the years for personal finance management, starting all the way back with Microsoft Money when that was a real thing. Yeah. And then Mint.com and then Quicken and a few others. And I just recently got off of Quicken because I didn't really like some of its features. And then Mint shut down. So wow. A competitor, Monarch Money, has been something I've been using lately. And I found an interesting feature of theirs. They have budgeting that most, you know, same kind of budgeting that most personal finance software has. But it will actually let you not only roll over amounts. So if you have things that only occur once or twice a year, once or twice a quarter, and you want a budget for them, you can roll over an amount each month so that by the time the big charge comes out, it's it just uses up the rollover. But you can also dynamically move money around in the current month. So if you've exceeded one budget, but you have money sitting in another budget line, you can just click and it will find the budget lines that have the most surplus and automatically select them for you to move to the one that you have a deficit in. So I thought that was kind of an interesting feature that allows you to really kind of get a better handle on not just long-term planning by being able to use the rollover for month to month, but also saying, you know what, this month it was just a bigger month for this, but I also know that because I did more of X this month, I'm not going to be doing as much Y next month or Y this month or whatever. And you can move money around a little bit more dynamically there. So that's if you're looking for personal finance software, especially if you lost Mint because Mint just got shut down by Intuit, Monarch Money has been pretty good, I thought.
It does have a subscription fee, though, which kind of surprises me. Maybe it shouldn't surprise me. Everything has a subscription these days, but I guess you find it's useful at or at least maybe you'll keep it alive at $100 a year basically.
Well, and what you don't have that you did have with Money is you don't have ads and offers for everything all over the place because Mint was free. So I'm not inundated with, you know, sign up for this or add this or click on this, or it has a very clean interface. So the old axiom, if you don't pay for a product, you are the product. That was definitely the Mint and Intuit model.
It's interesting to me that it has some features. I haven't used any of these financial apps in years, I have to say, mostly because I'm too lazy. But in addition to the usual things, investment tracking and all of that, it has subscription tracking, which I find interesting. Probably something most of us don't do enough of. I know I don't. I just kind of close my eyes and go, oh, well. Venmo support. What is the sync vehicle? I get it. Investment vehicle. I was thinking like cars, but all right. And also Coinbase support if you are into the digital coin type things. And Zillow support, which is sort of interesting. What does Zillow support do? Like if you're got rentals and things, or
I think so. Buy? For example, one of the assets that I have listed is the car that my wife and I own, and it will give you live estimates on how much that car is worth for your net worth calculation. So I assume Zillow would give you a live view of, you know, how much your house might be worth so that you can factor it into your net worth calculation.
Interesting. Yeah, this is interesting. So it's free for like a week, and then it's either $8.33 a month or $100 a year. I can't do the math in my head, but the monthly sounds about the same as the annual to me. yeah.
And so they do have an offer right now going for people who are switching from Mint. You can use their offer code to get, I think, 50% off your first year. So
nice. Yeah, it is sad how many things are shutting down recently, including more Googly things. But speaking of things that, you know, aren't working out well, like Mint, for the Mint users anyway, there's been a couple of things recently that I found that I didn't think I would find useful, but they are. I just wanted to point a couple out. One is, and I only started using these in the last year, and I've only got two of them, so it's not like they're all over the house, but I've got two of them. Vertical laptop stands. shockingly useful. You know, I always thought, well, you know, your laptop's either in a bag or it's on your desk. You know, why do you need a vertical stand for it? If you're working at home in a limited, basically, if you don't have a mansion, and I, mine is my little, my tiny abode is the opposite of whatever a mansion is, and you have limited surface and cubic space, laptops take up a lot of space when they're not doing anything. And so vertical stands turned out to be really, really useful. And I got one that was, I got one just recently that's really kind of neat. So it's this, it looks like a ultra thick bookmark.
Yeah.
But what it is it, it unfolds or uncrosses, and then it's got these magnets that that clip here, and you can do it. I found out I like them kind of low, actually. And you can, I'd be using it today, except I wanted to show it to you. And you can stretch it out, and it rests on these little triangular pillars and gives me just enough height that it's, it's more comfortable to use a laptop without being so high that I need to get an external keyboard for it, which, you know, I don't want to do. But anyway, so this doubles as a vertical stand, a vertical laptop stand, and a, you know, regular laptop stand that gives you access to the keyboard without being too high. So that was one thing. The other thing, and I've mentioned it on the podcast before, are giant desk pads, you know, which are, or desk pads, which are giant mouse pads. And I've seen them, I'm not sure I've seen them in real life until recently, but I've seen them advertised, and I thought, why would anybody want a giant mouse pad that goes across? And it turns out they are awesome. So every desk surface I have that has a notebook on it or a computer on it, desktop or notebook, or has a giant mouse pad on it. And I've actually got another one coming in that is kind of a nice matte, I think a nice matte black surface. So you can use it to take photographs of doodads that you're trying to share info about. So looking forward to that. The other thing is something you introduced me to, and these are the small thermal label printers. I think you introduced me to them last year, maybe, or the year before. And boy,
it was last year, and I think July or so.
Yeah,
when I got mine.
That sounds about right. And as often, I follow suit, guess, listening to your sage advice, and it's been just super useful to, you know, try to organize things and just have stuff to, you know, easily label without feeling like it's a giant chore. And finally, mechanical keyboards. I now have three of them, having started with zero at the beginning of this calendar year. And they are, there is something just relaxing about using a Thaukey mechanical keyboard. It's hard to describe. I'm not really sure why, but I watched a bunch of videos and I thought, I'm going to try one of these. I bought one that was fairly low cost. And I said, oh, this is wonderful. And most of the keyboards can have multiple devices, but I, you know me, I don't want to move stuff around. So every table that has a desktop or laptop on it, that it got a mechanical keyboard, and I'm pretty darn happy with it. I can see how they can irritate some, you know, other people, not you, because of their sound, but you can get quieter ones if you want more of the feel than the thalkiness or the clackiness, depending on what kind of sound you like. And I also like the ones that have the volume controls on them. And I also have some with a display on them, a little tiny LCD. Where's the LED? Can't remember now. Might be LED display. Very tiny, but useful information. So there you go. Mechanical keyboards. Can't live without them now, having spent my entire life without them.
Well, you know, now you have been inducted into more things that can take up your limited income.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
When I saw you putting this in the doc, I thought, well, what are some of the things that I've found that have been useful and satisfying? Yeah. And ironically, when I look through my Amazon purchase history and all my purchase histories from the last year or two, there were a lot more misses than hits. Things that, you know, the things that were hits were not very interesting, and they were not tech. They were just, you know, other
stuff,
weird things that I'm like, oh, that's useful. Yeah. But the things that I have found useful, I bought that electric scooter, and I talked about that a couple of months ago, And I have my e-bike, my Rad Expand 5.
Yes.
And I found that they both are very useful for just different purposes. And you would think they have a very large overlap, but they really don't. The scooter, I can throw in the back of a car much easier than the bike because it's about 50 pounds lighter. The, you know, it's much smaller. I can take it into buildings with me. I don't have to worry about locking it up and securing it outside. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it getting wet if it rains. The bike is still a more enjoyable experience, though. If you're going to go out for an actual ride or something where you want to enjoy being outside, the scooter is much more useful for just getting from point A to point B. Of course, the scooter is a little slower. So for $200, that's probably been the most surprising thing I purchased in the last year that I've gotten a lot more use out of than I thought. And that I see getting use out of this summer, because even though I bike a lot in the summer, there are times when I need to get from point A to point B and the bike isn't as practical as the scooter will be.
Right.
I've also found that I've gotten a lot more use out of Copilot and AI in general than I thought I was going to. Talked a little bit about Udio's music generation. There's Suno. Those have been fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But even just, you know, thought sorts of things that I don't really want to spend a lot of time on, but I would love to get, you know, someone else's knowledgeable experience on.
Right.
So, for example, one that came up this week was my wife and I are planning a trip to Disney World later this year. And, you know, we know a lot about Disney and we talk a lot about Disney, and we were, I was looking for something for us to do kind of at night instead of just sit around mindlessly and watch TV. And I gave Copilot the task. I said, you know, come up with 20 discussion questions that my wife and I can talk about Disney related material. And it came up with some really good ones that led to, you know, 20, 30 minute debates or discussions about, you know, like one of them, you know, some of these are things like, what Disney villain do you think has the most compelling backstory? Or how do you think the parks have changed over the last 20 years? Or, you know, just a lot of stuff where you go, oh, that's a good 10 minute, 20 minute discussion. That's more than us just sitting here staring at a screen. So sometimes you just have to think about how you can use these things more. So I did actually also recently used Copilot Pro in Office to generate an entire presentation that I then pretty much used word for word, because it gave me all the talking points I wanted that I would have come up with if I'd sat there for 25 minutes, but it had it in 25 seconds. So I used that and was fine with it. So kind of an interesting use of things that I thought wouldn't be as useful as they actually are. But yeah, I've got to say, I'm kind of disappointed with tech lately. It's a lot more, that's going to be really cool and useful, and then it just really isn't.
Well, you know, but going back to your Disney thing, and the other thing I found interesting is I know you and your wife and several of your friends and family members are really Disney files. I mean, I think you've been to Disney World in particular a number of times. This is not your first rodeo, so to speak. So you're well versed in the lore behind the scenes of the amusement park. So I found that kind of interesting that was something that was really useful to you. I should know that unlike some of our friends who have been maybe less enamored with the large language model, generative AI kind of world that's, you know, appeared in the last year and a half or so, you and I have been, I think, more enthusiastic about the whole notion set of services. I've been using it quite a bit too. In fact, last week after we got off the podcast with Sven, I used it to, you know, I asked it, hey, summarize, you know, some of the differences between these, you know, these vlogging / action cameras and what are the pros and cons. And it did a pretty decent job of finding sources on the net and then giving me a list of pros and cons based on those, you know, multiple sources, which is, you know, a lot and it did a lot faster than I could do it myself. So I found that quite useful. And I find myself using both Gemini and Microsoft Copilot. And I don't have the paid versions. I just have the free versions. I find myself using them daily, probably. Mm-hmm. To just go looking for stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. But speaking of misses... over the years, I've got a couple of things. One I never tried, but I kind of looked at it as, I really like the idea, but it's just too expensive. And apparently everybody else said the same thing. It's Apple Vision Pro. Apparently the return rate was huge.
I don't think we have seen the last of Vision Pro, but I do think that it's the first, you know, as forget which YouTuber put it, it's the worst Vision Pro that Apple will ever make. So there will be others that are definitely much better. But yeah, that one, kind of curious to see how it's risen and fallen so quickly in the consciousness. Yeah.
It's, you know, Apple doesn't have a lot of poorly conceived launches or poorly executed launches. And, you know, I can't think of a lot over the last 20 years. They've been pretty much on the mark with iPods and iPhones and iPads. There's been a couple of weird ones like the Apple Hi-Fi and a few other things, but they don't have a lot of big misses. So this is disappointing. I would have thought with all the money and time and, you know, smart people they have, that this would have been a better executed launch in terms of having something that's desirable by people. But, you know, it just shows you nobody's perfect. No group of people are perfect. I saw one interview with somebody whose name escapes me, who apparently worked for Meta, or maybe still works for Meta, and worked on their various, came from Oculus, I think, which Meta bought, Facebook, you know, Meta Facebook. And they said internally, you know, they always said internally at Meta/Facebook that when Apple comes out with whatever they're coming out with in the AR VR space, it's going to be the best marketing for our stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, whether it succeeds or fails, it'll bring attention to the mainstream world for what this is. And I think it's true. You know, I'm still on the fence. I still haven't bought any AR VR headsets. I'm kind of still leaning towards the Rokid. Because it has the diopter adjustment built in for those of us who wear eyeglasses. And so I don't have to get special prescription lenses, you know, purchased and installed for me. So still thinking about it. Maybe after I get my camera, it'll be more fun to watch it in a giant virtual screen. The other one that just got tanked, eliminated, is Android emulator for Windows 11, which seemed like a good idea. And it's kind of a emulation of emulation. Apple earlier, a year before, I think Android for Windows 11 came out, introduced the ability to run iOS apps on M processors under macOS. So if you had an Apple Silicon based Mac, you can run some, not all iOS apps. The apps have to actually allow themselves to be run under macOS. So I can't run Procreate on macOS, for example. But, you know, that was one of those things I thought, oh, I'm going to use this all the time. And I never used it after I tried it a couple of times. So very disappointing. The biggest disappointment was HP's anti-consumer, anti-third-party Inc. firmware DRM, which, you know, basically locks out your printer if you upgrade to that firmware level, if you're using a third-party Inc. as I do, because who can afford it when your replacement ink set costs as much as a printer? I mean, that it is, you know, it's almost more economical to buy a new printer every time you're out of ink than buy more ink, you know, and you probably get more features and faster and better print quality. But at any rate, I'm really annoyed with that. And my next printer will definitely not be an HP. And finally, this is more of a disappointment than it doesn't work, is iOS 17 standby mode. I thought, oh, this is the greatest idea since, you know, sliced bread, and I never use it at all. Do you use it on
your phone? It's funny how that works, where you see a feature, and this has happened so many times, I can't really begin to talk about them, where I thought, I'm going to use that all the time, and then I never did.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like the Android emulator and iOS emulator, or iOS apps and macOS. Standby mode is like, I still think it's an interesting idea. But it's only going to be interesting if Apple comes out with a dock for their iPad, not for their phone, because there are lots of docks for the phones. But I hope next week Apple announces a reasonably priced iPad dock that is a speaker and charger, you know, like the Google Pixel tablet, the dock, which I use all the time nowadays, by the way, since it's launched last year, so that, you know, your iPad's always sort of charged at 80 or 90%, depending on what they do with their adaptive charging. And it has a nice speaker when it's connected to it and is a good assistant. Maybe it'll make Siri actually useful, you know, or whatever Siri gets teamed up with, whether it's OpenAI's ChatGPT or Google Gemini or whatever. Poor Siri. Yeah. I feel bad for Siri. But that's
someday
that's
Siri
it.
Will get her due, I guess.
Yeah, she needs a. Did you ever read the novel Flowers for Algernon?
I know of it. I have not read it though.
Oh, it's a great. I think there's a movie of it too. But it's a great science fiction story. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that like the mouse, like Algernon the mouse, mm-hmm. Siri gets an intelligence upgrade soon. That would be awesome. It's sort of like a grown-up version of The Secret of NIMH, Secret of NIM. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway, also a good movie. All righty, that's it. I think next week, if you're available, I'm going to ask one of our other friends to help us test a 3 or 4 person Google Meet podcast.
Yep.
And then I'll be around. Then we'll see if we can get some other friends to join us for the following week. If you're around to talk about whatever the heck Apple announces, and I think the week after that, Google I/O. I think
it's all coming up, and then WWDC will be in the near future as well.
Yep. So lots to talk about, and we will check in with you guys later if I can remember how to turn this off. And here we go. I'm still learning to use Google Meet. All right. This has been Mobile Views Podcast 508. Todd Agassi, the good Dr. John Westfall. We'll talk to you next time.